Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. There's still power in the blood. Amen. Thank God for that. Folks are still getting saved, and we're thankful. Tonight, I want to deal with the subject of why we fail to overcome sinful habits. Why we fail to overcome sinful habits. Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there, please. Romans chapter 6. We'll find our place, and we think about sinful habits. Immediately, probably your mind went to something that maybe somebody else practices. Something that might have to do primarily with immorality. But there are all kinds of sins that are listed in the Bible that we as believers can have problems with. Surely some of it is moral problems. To some, it's pornography, it's the internet, it's watching filth on television. And I'll tell you, I personally don't want to hook up to any service that would pipe in waste material into my house. And I hope you feel the same way. So we have some sins that have to do with sexual sins and habits that have to do with pornography, those things. But we also have the many things that you've heard me mention before and that are clear in the Bible. There are sins in the lives of believers like pride, criticism, gossip, jealousy, envy, robbing from God. We could go on ad infinitum to a lot of different things, but we'll let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about what it is that you might be struggling with. The sin that doth so easily beset you. Do you have one like that? Most of us probably do, if we're honest about it with ourselves and with God. But I want to give you a few reasons tonight, and I want to read these verses. Listen to them carefully. Romans 6, beginning with verse 1. God tells us unequivocally that we are able to overcome any sinful habits that we have in our lives. We're able to overcome those and have victory because of our relationship with Christ. Look at it, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, that's sort of a rhetorical question. And the obvious answer to that is no. We know that from the rest of the Word of God. We should not practice sin because we have grace. And he says in verse 2, God forbid. That's very strong. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, how can we live any longer therein? How can we practice that sin and not be feeling the impact of the Spirit of God grieving our hearts over the fact that we're sinning? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized into the local church through biblical baptism, which is by immersion of a person who has been born again and saved. And so that's an important thing in our lives. But he says we were baptized into what? His death. We were immersed into, placed into his death. Now he's going to summarize. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, like a resurrected life, like the resurrection of the body of Christ. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, notice what he says here, serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we'll reckon ourselves dead to the power of sin and dead in Christ, then he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So, the Bible is very clear here that if we understand who we are and a number of things about that, that we can also understand at the same time that we do not have to yield to some habit of sin, whatever that sinful habit might be in our life. And here's some of the problems that we run into. We try to conquer the habits in our life in the energy of the soul or in the energy of our own power. You're never going to conquer that sin that bothers you and troubles you and that so easily besets you outside of the power of Almighty God. You're not going to be able to do it. Now, Satan wants us to fight the flesh in the power of the flesh. He wants us to fight the habits in the energy of the soul rather than in the energy of the spirit. The soul, the Greek word is psuche, and it's talking about our souls. It has to do somewhat with our mental power. It has to do with our will power. It has something to do with our emotional power. We're not going to win the battle just through those three areas. It's not going to happen. There's more to it than the emotional power, the mental power, and a positive attitude and saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. That has something to do with it, but that's not the main thing. Because the soulish part of us and the mental aspect of us is not enough to, it is no match for the habitual sin and for the power of the devil to fight us in the bondage of some kind of sinful habit we have in our life. Listen to Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, after the soulish part of our bodies, our lives, ye shall die. But listen, if ye through the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, do mortify them, mortification, or render them dead, as if a dead person you're dealing with, then ye shall live. We have to do it how? Through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. The devil wants us to practice the deeds of the body. Anger, jealousy, meanness, all of those things that we know that the Bible talks about that are of the flesh in the Word of God, in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians. But all of that is there. But how are we going to do it? We try to conquer these in the power of the soul or the energy of the soul, our own power, and that isn't enough. That's a mistake. Secondly, we are sometimes double-minded. The Bible has something to say about people that are double-minded. And we desire, maybe, there are people who desire to overcome the habit, but here's the other part of it, here's the other problem. They also desire to enjoy those things. They enjoy those things. Some people are depressed and they enjoy being depressed. Some people have other problems in their life and they say, pray for me, but they seem to enjoy it. They just go back to it time and time again, over and over and over again. But they have this desire, yes, to stop it and a desire to not do it any longer and a desire not to practice it any longer. But at the same time, there's that desire in them that says, I really enjoy the pleasure of my sin or the pleasure of that habit that's in my life. And whenever you do that, God warns us in His Word. When we take that attitude, God warns us in His Word that there is no victory in our doing it that way. There's not going to be any victory. And He's very clear about that in the Word of God. He talks about a double-minded person. Are you a double-minded person tonight? You say, I don't want to do my sin, but yes, I do enjoy doing my sin. That's a double-minded standard, a double-minded person. The Greek word is dipsoukos. It literally means, according to the Greek scholars, that is double-souled, double-souled. And so there are people who seemingly cannot make up their mind. We've got to come to the place in our lives that we understand how God hates sin. And because we are God's child, and because we want to please God, we also have to hate sin in our lives. It has to be something that is despicable in our lives, something we don't like, something that bothers us, something that we know does not belong there. And James says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. All of his ways. So we need to make up our mind. Do we love God, and do we really want to get over that sinful practice that we have, or do we really want to hang on to it? We need to get out of that middle ground, whatever it is, and make up our mind and determine that we're going to get rid of it and live for Jesus. Whatever it is, get it out of our lives. The third thing I believe is this, that we fail to understand what it means to be in Christ. We run around like a bunch of weaklings that say, the devil made me do it, and I have that excuse, and I just can't handle it. Well, if you have that attitude, it's because you fail to understand what it means to be in Christ. That's what he's talking about. We are baptized into Christ. We are recipients, and we are part of. We were with Christ when he died and when he was buried. And thank God when he arose, we were with Christ. We entered into that according to Romans chapter 6 and some other parallel passages in the Word of God. And therefore, we have to understand that we are in Christ. Now, if I'm in Christ tonight, I need to enter into the victory that I have because of Christ. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And if I'm in Christ, then I have the right to expect to have victory in my life over sin in my life. Enter into the victory that Christ has already won for us. He did it at the cross. When he died and was buried and arose, he won our right for victory. The problem is we don't enter into it. We make excuses. We are lame about our sin. We are weak about it. And we try to excuse it in every way that we can. And then another thing is, we make provision for sinful pleasures. We sort of plan on some of those sinful pleasures, and we make provisions for it. And if we would remove those provisions for sin, it would show that we really look at it like God does, and that we hate sin. It would do the things in our lives that needs to be done. We need to remove those things. Look, if you're having problems with certain sins in your life, and you have things in your home, and you have attitudes in your mind that are contrary to the Word of God, and you allow those things in, you're asking for trouble. If you have problems with pornography, and you have problems with immorality, and yet you have HBO in your house, got quiet. You have Cinemax that you say, but I can be very selective. I doubt if you can be that selective. Or if you are somehow involved in it on the Internet, and parents, if your children don't want you to know what they're looking at, you, that's why you ought to be looking at it. And wives, if your husband says, that's my man cave, and I got my computer in there, and you don't get in my man cave, you better watch out and find out what he's up to, or vice versa. I'm telling you, if you make provisions for it, you're going to fall into it. Stay away from it. Stay away from those things. If you have problems with alcohol, don't walk in a bar. Or don't bring that junk into your house. If you have problems with drugs, don't get around people who are using drugs. Stay away from it. Get away from that stuff. If you have problems with other things, whatever it may be, try to get it out of your life and get it out of your home and get it out of anything that would cause you that would cause you to sin and go against the will of God. It's just common sense that you do not make provision for it. If you do, you're going to fail God and fall back into that sin, and that's what's going to happen to you. Enter into the victory and don't make any provisions for it. We need to cleanse up the galleries of our mind. Well, there's a lot goes on in the mind, doesn't it? I'd give you a buck apiece for every thought you're having right now, and I grant you, some of you wouldn't take the buck. Some of you are thinking, how long is this going to last? This is Mother's Day. Don't you know everybody's tired, preacher? Or you may be thinking, your mind may be way out there or something else. I don't know what. But I'm just saying to you, we ought to cleanse the galleries of our mind of evil imaginations. Do everything we can. A lot of it gets in there because we let it in there. Say, I know when you're down on your knees praying, and you're all of a sudden, while you're on your knees praying, you're calling on God, and a thought goes through your mind, and you think, where did that come from? By the way, where does it come from? Well, I think it's part of the old flesh, the evil nature, but I think demons are real, and I think the devil fights us, and if there's any time he'd like to fight you, it's why you're on your knees praying. And I've had some thoughts that came in my mind while I was on my knees praying, and I'm thinking, Lord, where did that come from? But what do you do with it? You purge it right quick. You get rid of it as quickly as you can, and you deal with it. And the best way to deal with it is find a scripture, quote that scripture at the devil and the demons of hell. You say, do you really believe demons are real? Oh, yeah. Why do you believe demons are real, preacher? Because the Bible says they are. Is that good enough for me? It's good enough for you? The Bible says they are. They are those evil spirits that are always fighting against us. The devil is not omnipresent. Thank God God is, but the devil isn't. But the devil has a lot of those old fallen angels, if we can call them that, that are working for him and causing us problems. But when that comes into your mind, what do you do with it? You don't coddle it. You don't pet it a little while and stroke it a few times. If jealousy comes into your mind, you deal with it, and you know what the Bible says about it. If pride comes into your mind, you quote the scripture. Pride comes before destruction. If it's something else, if you have a tendency to be depressed, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request. I know where I'm going. Leave me alone. Let your request. I was just going to cough, and you got excited. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Jesus. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Another way of saying it is don't worry about anything. I'm telling you, when the devil starts throwing these things in your mind, take some scripture and quote those scriptures at him and get it out as quickly as you can. And if it has to do with hatred, if it has to do with self-pity, did you know self-pity is a sin too? If it has to do with being critical and murmuring, that's a sin. The Bible deals with all of those things. And you know your weakness, so deal with it and cleanse the galleries of your mind. Cleanse our homes of all sensual possessions that we might have. And then another thing is we attempt to hide secret sins. We attempt to hide secret sins. You know, one of Satan's lies, and as a pastor, I've seen it. I've been at it 46 years, 3 years youth work, 43 years full-time pastor. All of those years, I've seen people who will believe the lie of the devil, and he'll tell you as you start out, nobody will ever know. It will remain a secret. You're not going to get caught. It's just between you and the person, you and the devil or whatever, and nobody is ever going to find out. Well, I want to tell you, that's a lie of the devil. Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's been my unpleasant experience in 46 years to have to call women and men and some teenagers into my office and sit them down and say, we've got to talk. We've got to talk. We know what you're up to. We know what you have done. And I've seen grown men hit the floor on their knees begging us, please don't tell anybody else. I'll get it right like the prodigal they were singing about tonight. And thank God, God will take care of that. But I'm telling you, I've seen them hit their knees. I'm talking about men in their 60s. I'm talking about men of all ages hit their knees when the truth came out about them. And wow, were they ever embarrassed. And was it ever a terrible thing? Be sure your sin will find you out. One good thing about it is this. The shame and the humbling that comes with it, and it will come when sins are properly confessed. And that's the best thing to do. If there's sin in your life, just get it right. Don't play around with it. It's not going to get better until you get it right. Just get it right when it's properly confessed. And that is, it's really part of God's provision. So that when a person is humiliated and they're brought to that place and their sin is found out, then they are in a position to receive grace and mercy from God and conquer that sinful habit. That doesn't okay it. God forbid, he said. That doesn't okay it. But it can bring them to a place. And some of you have been there. You know exactly what I'm saying. You've been there, and as it came out, as you were faced with it, God used it to humble you and get your heart right and get your life straightened out. Hopefully, you learned. It's one thing to sin and fail and go back to that sin and go back to it again and again and again when you claim that you've asked for forgiveness. It's one thing to do that, and God will deal with that. It's another thing when you just come clean with God and you get it right. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to love people like that. If they honestly get things right with God, were it not for the grace of God, it might be you. And I know we all live with our decisions. We have to face our own decisions. But thank God for his merciful grace. Thank God he let the prodigal come back home, even after he failed. And that's what God wants out of us. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. Why would people not get their hearts right with God? Pride. Pride. God hates pride, and the devil uses it. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Thank God he gives grace to the humble. And all God asks us to do is get it right. Understand who we are. Get it right in our lives. We are without excuse for the sinful lifestyle that we might choose, for the bad habits we might have in our lives. We should be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And I'm telling you, it is available to all of us if we understand that we are in Christ and we will honestly deal with these, we call them weaknesses, God calls them sins. We say, well, it's just a weakness. No, it's a sin. You say, it's a temperament trait. No, it's a sin. It's a sin. And we need to deal with it so that we don't hurt the body of Christ, the local church, and so that we don't hurt the cause of Christ and bring a reproach upon his name. And here's the good news. If you have sin in your life and you still feel the guilt of it and you've never had those sins forgiven, thank God. I can promise you tonight, Jesus will forgive you of those sins if you'll come to him. We have a loving, wonderful Savior. And it doesn't matter what you have done. Thank God it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you'll come to Jesus, he'll put it all under the blood. Aren't you glad tonight? Now just stop a moment, just a moment, and think of a few sins you've committed in your lifetime. And some of us would have to go and say, oh, my soul, what I have done in my lifetime. Think of that. Aren't you glad it's under the blood tonight? Thank God it's under the blood. If you hadn't had your sins forgiven, you can get it under the blood tonight by receiving Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. We'll have a prayer and have our invitation. God's spoken to you about anything tonight. Just do what God says, and that'll be the right thing to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that we should be overcomers because we are in Christ. We've been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, help us tonight to quit giving any kind of excuses for anything in our lives that is displeasing to you, and help us to do something about it. Help us to be more than victors through Christ, more than conquerors through him who died for us. We pray that we would humble ourselves and not be proud and do your will. If there's somebody here without Christ tonight, oh God, I pray that he or she would come to Christ. In his name we pray, amen. While we sing, may God help you if there's a need, you come.